the Lord with you this afternoon. If you have your Bibles, you'll go with me to the Gospel of Mark, please, chapter 9. Really enjoyed the service that we had this week. Services were good at Brother Chocowinity Church. The Lord was with us. And, enjoyed the preaching. If you weren't able to get there, be those some of those messages, I believe, I like. There's some of them I'd like every person in this church to hear them. They're really good. I tell you what, we're in a dangerous time.
Yes, we are.
We're in a dangerous time. We are. And the brother said this morning, we can't afford to waste time either. God's coming, church.
Yes,
and there's work to be done. And
yes.
I'm amazed sometimes at the immaterial, silly things that can sometimes trip up saints of God. And you know, when you really get down to it, a lot of folks have backslid. When you really look at the thing they backslid over, I'm telling you, it wasn't no bigger than a molehill. It was nothing. It was nothing. An eternity, an eternal life with Jesus Christ was traded for a silly offense. Amen. For some silly disagreement, for some little hypocrisy that was spotted somewhere in a saint or something, or some little frivolous matter just got the best out of them. Or maybe a trial that was a little bit too long or something. Just a little sickness came their way. And after all God did for us, somehow we get this idea that everything ought to be smooth as silk. You know, and we look at that and we get any little bump in the road and we're just the first ones to complain and fuss about it and say, what's going on here? And I'm going to tell you something. The saints that survive and make it in this last day are going to be those who understand that suffering for a saint of God is normal. It's normal. It's expected. And we don't look for smooth roads. We don't look for uncalloused knees. We don't expect to be treated well by the world. Our problem is we are disappointed because we have wrong expectations. But I don't expect to be patted on the back. I don't expect for the world to bow and kiss my feet. No, sir. I don't expect for my brothers to please me. Hello? Amen. And if we get some right expectations, we wouldn't be so disappointed all the time. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, God's good. We heard good word this morning. We heard a man, our pastor, one of our pastors, gave his heart to you today after what he's been through. It was a tough thing for him to stand here just physically and deliver the word of God. We ought to give thanks for that. We got men who want to preach and want to share God's word and got a message to share from their heart, even when it's tough to share it physically and all that other else may go along with it. But I'm telling you, God wants to lift this church higher. God wants to take us up another round and another step, and I want to do it. I want to make it. I want to get there. And I'm asking God to do something mighty. Friday night, Brother Donnie read a passage of Scripture, this passage in Mark 9, and I couldn't leave it. I don't know. I just hung with me. It's a familiar passage. I want to read two verses, and I'm going to deal with this familiar story. I want to read verse 22 and verse 23. Verse 22 and 23 of Mark 9, if you'll stand here this evening. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've put some time with the help and grace of God and study and deliverance. And I'm going to trust God to be with us and anoint us. But I also know something, no matter how great that anointing is, if you're not ready to hear, it ain't going to get it too far.
Right.
Amen. So I'm going to ask you to do your part this afternoon.
Yeah.
We're a little bit of a tendency here just to kind of cool down, and I don't want us to do that. I like you to just, I may believe the same God's here this morning, is here this afternoon.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Brother Woods, I'm disappointed there's not more here. Well, don't let that kill you, all right? You're here. That's God knew that, and that's what matters. And that's what matters right now. I get disappointed because I know we study hard, and you like everyone to hear the message. You feel it's for everyone in your church. And I'm going to tell you something. This brother was right this morning. Talked about that assembly. And I caught something he said in his message today that struck me on a note I'd not seen before, and that is, You know, he comes and you need the strength of the brothers. And you need to be here because you need to draw strength. Well, you know, there's another side to that. And I caught it as he preached it today. You need to be here times when you're not weak because you need to give strength to others. Amen. And if we have folks that come that need strength and then the others aren't here to give them strength, we're gonna be missing out on that. And we need both. Amen. We need the folks that come to be strengthened and those that come to do the strengthening and help out. And I will tell you, when you miss out on a message, you miss out.
Yeah.
You miss out. You miss something. And I believe it's that way. And I don't like to do that. And I just appreciate Brother Doug's faithfulness and his hunger to be in the house of God. I really do. And to be here with us. And I know God has got a record. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 9, verse 22 and verse 23. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Note that phrase that was spoken by a disturbed father whose son has been taken over by a demon. And has just wreaked havoc in the life of his child and his home. And he looks to Jesus and says, if thou canst do anything. If you can do anything. If anything's possible. That's what he said to Jesus. And this is what Jesus said to him. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. He said to the Lord, if you can do anything. And Jesus said, that's not the if. The if is, if you can believe. I want to try to share with you some thoughts this afternoon. If you can, God can. If you can, God can. Would you say amen to God's word here this afternoon? You may be seated. The story is recorded in all of the synoptic gospels in Mark, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But Mark gives the fullest account. There are a few details that are mentioned in Luke and Mark or Matthew that are not mentioned in Mark. And I will bring those to bear as well upon the story. But the fullest account that we have of this event that took place in the life of Jesus is found in the Gospel of Mark. We know that it occurred immediately after the descent of Jesus from the Mount of what we call Transfiguration. That was not the name of the Mount, but it became an important event by which we identify that place. It was where He was transfigured or metamorphosed in the presence of God, and where Jesus had separated three of His disciples, apostles, from the other nine. He has made a division in the group, taken three to the mountain and left nine in the valley, and they have witnessed the glory, the majesty and the glory of Jesus Christ. And I am telling you right now, that was an event to behold. Peter mentioned it in his epistle. We were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And when we saw His glory in the holy mount, and oh, I'm telling you, that was an experience that nobody could take away, and it'll not happen again. It will not be repeated in history. And these three men were privileged to see something that will never ever again be repeated. It happened one time in all of the annals of history, and those three men got to witness it. What an honor and what a privilege to be there that day. But after that occasion, Jesus, after they'd been there a day or so, He came off of the mountain and rejoined His disciples or His apostles. And He was setting His face. It was a time when He could have been received up into the presence of the Lord. He received a glorified body, but He gave it up. And He came down off the mountain. He had a second descent, if you will. His first descent was from deity to humanity. His second was from glorified humanity to go to be crucified humanity and die by the way of the cross. And therefore, the Bible said that He came off of the mountain, you know the story. And when he got down to the mountain, into the mountain where his disciples were, there probably a prearranged meeting place where they would find one another. And there a crowd has gathered around. Someone get me a cup of water this afternoon, I'd appreciate it. A crowd was gathered around there in the valley where he's come off the mountain. And there's an argument that is going on. And Jesus walks into the midst and he says, hey, he finds out that the scribes are disputing with his apostles, and they're arguing about something, and there's a debate that is going on in the midst of his disciples. Jesus said, hey, what's going on? What are you questioning about? What's the debate all about here? They won't answer anything, and the father of this son speaks up and says, it's all about me. He said, I brought my son unto your disciples because he's got a demon, but they couldn't cast him out. And now, he said, you're here, and I'm coming to you, and I'm asking you, you know, what can be done? Jesus said, first of all, he rebuked the crowd and the man. He said, bring him unto me. O faithless generation. Luke and Matthew records, O faithless and perverse generation. Bring him unto me. How long must I suffer you? How long must I be with you? Bring him unto me. He did so. You know the story. When he come, that devil grabbed him again. Threw him down in the midst of Jesus. Made a show right there in the presence of the master. And the master then asked a question and said, how long? When did this happen? How long has this been going on in the sight or in the life of this young man? And the father said, from a child, literally from infancy, this has been taking place in the life of my son. Since the time of his infancy, this has taken place. And then he said, Jesus looked at him, and of course he will say, now he is struggling. He sees again what's happening to his child, and he says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then he cast out the demon and liberated the young man, the young child. They raised him up and gave him back to his father, and said, and then went on the way. And the disciples were asked later in the day, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And he said, howbeit this kind goeth not, but by prayer and by fasting. If you can, God can. If you can, God can. I want to talk about, number one, what in this story here this afternoon, what it is that you and I must do. That part that's a part of our can. There's something we can do and must do. And then I want to talk about what the Lord does in this passage as well. First of all, I want to share with you that here is this man, and Jesus has spoken unto him and said, Lord, or said, sir, he said, if you can believe, if you can have faith. And Jesus, he said to the Lord, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And let me take that now in that passage and this whole story, and let's look at some things here. Number one, we've got to overcome the obstacles. This man has got the possibility of a miracle in front of him. He has met the place in which he can find deliverance for his only child. This is his only child. And now in this occasion, but it will require this business of faith. And there is within this man an evidence of faith for which I will speak of in a moment. But he said, Lord, I'm help I need. There is yet unbelief and I need help. But this man is at the point of a miracle. And there's things that have happened. And God is calling him to believe in the face of difficulty. God is calling this man to believe in the face of despair, in the face of struggle and conflict. Jesus isn't calling upon him to give up. He isn't calling upon him to relax. He's telling him, you need to believe. You need to have faith. Because if you can believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth. With our God, the only impossibility with God is the failure of a man to trust him. The only time that God cannot do a mighty work in our life is when our faith is not what it ought to be. Jesus said there were times when he went to at Nazareth. The Bible said, and he could not do many works there because of their unbelief in Jerusalem. The Bible said many believed upon him or trusted in him, but he would not commit himself unto them because he knew what was in man and not that any should testify of that. He knew what was in man. Literally, the Greek is this. There were many that trusted Jesus, but he didn't trust them. He didn't have confidence in them and would not therefore give himself unto them. We want God to do mighty things, but we must understand the power is in God. It's possible. A demon-possessed boy can be delivered. I don't care what we are facing. The possibility of its conquering and of it being defeated is possible with God. It just hinges upon our faith.
Yes,
now let's think about that. I want you to look here, number one. Hang with me here this afternoon. And I want you to look a little bit at some of the obstacles that this man has got to overcome in order to exercise or to have his faith in Jesus Christ. Number one, he's got to overcome the sins of the past. The Bible said, and I believe there's a reason God asked that question when he said, how long is it ago since this came into him? And he said, of a child, verse 21, literally in the Greek, from infancy. Now, say what you want to, but there must have been a great delight for this couple to have a son, a man child born into the world. And then shortly after the birth of this child, he starts convulsing. He starts having what some would describe the activity or rather the expression that goes on in this child is the same as an epileptic seizure. Matter of fact, I believe that word comes as a similarity between some of the Greek language that's used here and between our English language. Now, I'm not telling you everyone that has epilepsy is demon possessed, but in this particular case, this was the result of a demon, and it had the very same appearance as an epileptic seizure. A child would fall down, the child would foam at the mouth, and then there would be this, when he went older, the grinding of the teeth and the pain that would come. But it came in, and I have to ask the question at that point, what is wrong in a home? When a child, an infant, I'm talking about as innocent can be possessed by a demon. What is going on in a household when a devil can come into a house and enter into a baby if you will, and take its life and make it its abode and wreak havoc in that home? I can tell you, I do not believe there has been righteousness going on in that home. I do not believe in a house of righteousness where mommy and daddy are living the way they need to live under the protection of the blood of Jesus, that the devil can have a heyday and come in and possess our children. I do not believe it. He may be permitted to afflict. He may be permitted at times to do some of his work, but he cannot abide and dwell in a life that is absolutely anointed and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have to ask, were mom and dad dabbling in the occult? Were mom and dad in rebellion themselves that it gave leeway? Were they so spiritually ignorant that the enemy could enter into their home and take this child? But I want you to know it was from the beginning, and I believe that there was something going on in that home, some sin in the parent. There's no way you ever convince me that blame can be placed upon that child to be possessed of that demon. There's no way you'll convince me that that child had done something wrong. He's innocent. He doesn't even know right from wrong. He's just a baby held in the arms of a mother trying to nurse that child. And the devil has come and entered into the life and the body of that child. Something's wrong in mommy and daddy's life somewhere. There's some sin. And this man is going to have to confront his sin when he brings his child for deliverance. You're never going to be able to exercise your faith if you're not willing to deal with the sins that you've got in your life. Secondly, you understand that Jesus even said of them in that connection, he called them a faithless and perverse generation. Show me a people who do not believe in Jesus, and I will show you a perverted people. A warped, twisted people. Show me a nation who rejects the Lordship and the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I'll show you a nation that will be plunged in the moral darkness and in the spiritual depravity and moral depravity. Understand something? You cannot disconnect faith with righteousness. You cannot disconnect morality with the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an absolute harmony. Morality comes because our faith is placed in Him. It is not that the sinner shall live by faith. It is not that merely the man who is doing his best will live by faith, but the just, the righteous, the holy man, the moral man will live by faith. That's just the way that it is. Faith in God results in a righteous lifestyle that will bring the blessing and the grace and the peace of God upon that being. Secondly, he had to overcome. He is standing in the face of Jesus, being called upon to exercise faith, and he must overcome a long-term struggle. This thing has been going on in his household for a long time. This child has now grown. He's no longer an infant. It appears he can walk. It appears that he can go on about and do things. There's times, the daddy said, there's been times when the child, he may be next to water and the demon will try to take the child and throw him into the water to drown him. There's been times he's been next to the fire. In those days, that would have been more frequent than us because they didn't have electric stoves and they didn't have the nice convenient microwaves. They cooked over a fire, an open fire. That's what they cooked with. And there would be a fire in their house nearly all the time. And they would therefore, a child would maybe get near to mama, draw up next to that fire, and the demon would just begin to work in the child and just toss him into the fire or next to the stove or whatever where he could get burned. And no doubt this child bears in his body scars from the times that he's been burned. You look at him and it's such a pitiful sight to see what's happened. And then the Bible's talked about how he would foam at the mouth and gnash or grind his teeth. And it would be that he would pine away. He would go into a corner where there would be in the sense of just wither up and dry away emotionally. After the demon had done what he would do in the child, it would drain him. It would just like the child would just dry up. All of his emotion and his joy, all of the sense of what you ought to see in a 2, 3, 4 year old. I think of my grandson Daniel and the delight in that little boy. He's a great stress reliever. I love him. I come in stressed out. I can grab that boy. Man, we can do a do-si-do. We can have a good time. He's ready to romp any time of the hour. He ain't got any complaint. He's ready. He's on go. And I can go in there and run around and just get things going. But here, to have where that joy, a time when the child ought to be just delighting in the presence of a parent, a demon has got a grip in him. And I'm telling you, it's been a long, hard struggle. It's hard sometimes to have faith and exercise and believe when you've had conflict after conflict and the scars of the tribulation and the trial are in your past. But I'm here to tell you, if thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believes. And if you can, God can. Glory to God. Thirdly, there's the failure of the disciples of Christ. This man has come looking for an answer. And he has come to God's people, and they have been unable to help him. He has heard the story. The rumors or the reports have come unto this man. He didn't come out there on a nothing. He's heard the message of Jesus. The fame is spread all throughout Galilee. The fame is spread throughout Judea. Come see a man who will tell you everything. Come see a man who opens blinded eyes. Come see a man who makes the lame to walk. Come see a man who the demons have to bow down to and acknowledge his authority. He just speaks a word and they go, and now a little flicker of hope has risen in the eyes of his father, and he's heard even his workers cast out devils, even his disciples and his followers go throughout the villages healing people and touching them, and mighty works are possible by this man in his ministry. But when he gets there, he's full of hope. He's ready. And when they lay hands or when they speak, it won't be Peter, James, and John, but maybe it's Matthew. Maybe it's Simon the Zealot. Maybe it's Philip or Andrew. And they look at this boy and they look at him and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of him. And nothing happens. And they look at him again and say, another disciple, another one of the apostles reaches out and say, I say unto thee, in the name of Jesus, they've done it. They've done it many times before. It's happened again and again. But this time, nothing takes place. This time, the boy only falls in their midst and begins wallowing and foaming at the mouth, and the father's heart has got to sink. I'm going to tell you something. The church will disappoint you. I'm going to tell you that the church will disappoint you. There's been many times that we've expected a brother to have compassion. We've expected the prayers of a brother to bring us through. But I'm here to tell you, there comes a time when only your faith is going to make the difference. Only your faith is going to make the difference. You must overcome the disappointments of being failed by the body of Jesus Christ. And not a person in here today, if you've lived any time in Jesus Christ, there are times when the fellow saints have disappointed you. They prayed for you and nothing happened. They cried out for you and nothing got better. And you would have liked to found comfort in their prayers. You would have liked to found relief at their intercession. But instead of getting it, you found nothing. They prayed, but it was nice to have the prayer. But your boy is still bound by a demon. I'm here to tell you, we've got to be a people who can overcome the disappointments of being failed by our brothers. And sometimes the one that claims to be the most spiritual has found out that this still isn't enough to reach down and work in this situation. And I'm here to tell you that God is wanting to draw out your faith. Amen. Fourthly, we must overcome the debate that's taking place in the religious world. I'm telling you, the debates, the arguments, the defenses, the apologetics will just about drive you nuts today. And if you're having to weigh in the midst of all that, and here this man has brought his child, he has brought his son for deliverance, he has come, I don't know how far he's come, but he's come some distance, whatever, and he's brought his son in there, and he's been dealing with this problem for so long, and now his son, his only son, he doesn't have another, he doesn't take comfort in a daughter, it's his only child that he possesses, and he comes in there, and now his hope this day, but these disciples, whatever, they speak the word, they lay hands, but his son is not made better, and the scribes are doing their thing, they're hanging around, and then they begin to enter into debate. Well, maybe it's not a devil. Well, maybe it is a devil. Well, maybe you can't expect it. Well, maybe it's just too much. Maybe there's just this man's not good enough. Maybe it's because, I don't know his background or this or that. All these things, and all you want is your child to be delivered. All you want is your son to have whole peace again and peace to come into your home and your atmosphere. Sometimes we want to engage people in debates when all they want is the liberty that is found in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we want to argue ourselves to death when people just want some relief from their sin and their iniquity, and we can give them Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. And the church world is absolutely entrenched in debate after debate after debate, and you're going to have to wade through it to exercise your faith in God. Sometimes I think folks, even in this congregation, have not settled the debate about the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their own hearts and minds. And I'm here to tell you, if that debate is going on inside of you, faith cannot be exercised
until there is a conviction. Oh, faith must be based on something of which you are convinced of, and therefore something. If there's any sense with you that you're uncertain about it, you're just not certain as to whether something is right or wrong, you're not certain as to whether it's God's will or not, then there will be no faith exercise on your part. Faith has got to overcome the obstacle of the debate and get it settled in its heart to know this is what God wants. This is what I want. This is what God's promised. This is what God has said. And I'm going to stand on it by the grace and the power of God. Faith will settle the question and the debate.
Amen. Fifthly, there's the intensifying of the problem. Jesus comes off the mountain. He walks into their midst. And you know the story. He invites them at some point to bring him unto me. And no sooner does that boy get in the presence of Jesus Christ than he throws a fit again. I mean, that devil really shows himself, boy. Glory. But isn't that the way it is? Well, the disciples couldn't do it, but here comes Jesus. I'm telling you, the devil wants to remind you of every impossibility. He wants to throw up your problem in your face day and day again. And when that came, that father comes, now the Lord is here, surely he can do it. But the devil's trying to get his attention on the demon instead of the Lord that's in front of him. That's what he'll try to do. He wants to get your attention on his activity. And somewhere we've got to let him know, I'm not going that route. Throw him if you want to. Just take your measure and do what you want to do. I'm in the Lord's presence, and God is greater than you are. He gets there. Child just falls down. And you know what, Jesus? He didn't immediately deliver him. He started asking questions. You can tell what that doctor, you know. They start asking a bunch of questions in the case they don't know sometimes too much. And oh, I can see the cloud begin to descend again over this father. His son is at it again. In the very presence of this man from Galilee, who they say can do it all. And he's at it again, and Jesus doesn't immediately deliver him. He reaches out and he starts asking questions. How long did this come into him? And the father starts explaining. And starts answering again and says, and now here's the father's attitude, and I want you to see it. We can see it and hear it in his voice in verse 22. And he said this, but if thou canst do anything, literally the idea in the Greek is, if anything can be done. If anything can be done, could you just have compassion on us? You talk about that's the voice of desperation, Brother John. That is the voice of desperation. That's a voice of hopelessness. That's a voice of helplessness. That's a voice of I'm at the end of my rope. That's a voice of I don't have any other option. That's a voice of I've got no other way. I don't have any other road to go. You're my last hope. You're the last choice. I don't got any. Is anything possible? I'm in the place that I don't know what can be done. But if something can be done, please would you do it? A lot of times before God responds to our faith, our dilemma intensifies. And the devil magnifies our problem. He magnifies our conflict. He shouts in our ear. He screams at us. And it looks like we're not getting anywhere. I'm here to tell you, if you belong to Jesus and the Lord is in your midst, if thou canst believe, all things are possible.
Yes, yes. Right. Amen.
And I want to present this challenge today, and I'm just going to, for just a moment here, digress for just a second. Listen to me. We've got many challenges in this church. That's why I'm preaching. Preaching to this preacher as much as anybody. This is not for us to look around and point fingers at someone who's in a struggle and a conflict.
Can I tell you that in this story, this boy was not delivered by his faith. He was delivered by the faith of his father. Can I tell you that a Roman centurion's servant was not healed because he believed, but because his master believed? Can I tell you that a Syrophoenician woman's daughter was not delivered of a demon because the daughter found a way to Jesus, but because mama got a hold of God for that daughter? I'm here to tell you at the same time, it is possible for you to touch God by faith for somebody else's infirmity and somebody else that needs deliverance. Let's not put all the blame on someone else. Let's understand wherever faith is found, it can do a mighty work. Wherever somebody will get a hold of God, God can touch many people's lives by the faith of one man. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. I understand. Those are just some of the obstacles this man's got to overcome. If you get hung up in your past sins, make excuses. If you get weary, worn out in the conflict and you just won't try again. If you're just so disappointed with the church and you all you've seen is hypocrisy and you just want to judge it by that, you'll give up. You'll quit. I have to get weary of hearing that. And heard it the other day. Somebody said, well, you know, I was talking to my niece in West Virginia. And you know, the criticism that comes to her because of others in her family that have backslid and turned away. And now her unsaved loved ones see the hypocrisy in them. I can tell you there's enough hypocrisy in the world to go around. I can tell you that. There's enough hypocrisy, not just in the church. That world's as full of it as well. But I'm here to tell you there's still a God in heaven. And if you're the last man on earth, you're going to answer to that God. And you can believe in Jesus Christ. And if the whole world is less than genuine, you can be true. Blue, hallelujah. What you've got to do is overcome the obstacles. Secondly, I want to share with you that there are certain basics of faith. Matthew said that Jesus recorded later in the day, he told his disciples that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, faith that is a seed, like a seed. It's not that it is so much emphasizing size, but rather principle. A seed. I read a story recently when the government of the United States in World War II was encouraging victory gardens. How many of you in here have lived long enough to know what a victory garden is? Or at least read about them. In order to help out with all the food that had to be shipped to our soldiers that were fighting the war. People of this nation were encouraged to plant gardens. And then they didn't have nothing but a 2x2 lot in their backyard in the middle of town. Plant you a garden. Plant you something there. So you can help, because if you can become self-sufficient, then our other resources can be used to feed our soldiers and that are fighting for your freedoms and for your liberties. And so our schools would hand out little packages of seeds. And this one girl got her little package. She was so excited. And she went home to her dad, and you know, she had a little package ready to open it up, and she did so, and she was so excited she was going to plant her victory garden. And she opened it up, and all she had was two little seeds of squash. And she was ready to cry and throw the, what am I going to do with that? And put those little two little squash seeds and what they were. And her dad said, well, why don't we just plant them and see what'll happen? And it took those two little squash seeds. He dug a little hole and put them out in the corner of the yard. Before you know, in a few days, a vine done sprouted up. And before you know it, that vine has done taken over the whole backyard. And they've got squash running out their ears. And they're eating squash left and right. And mama's finding every way she can to cook it, and the girl ends up taking a squash to school and winning first prize because of her victory garden. I'm here to tell you something right now. A seed is all it takes to bring out life. A seed is all it takes for things to spring up and fill a whole backyard. God doesn't have to have big, humongous plantations. He just got to have some right principles that are in place. There's certain fundamentals that's got to be present in our life, and God can then do His work. Yes. Give God a little seed and soil, and He can do a mighty thing with it.
Let's look at something that's in this man's life. Number one, very simple things, is desire. I'm telling you, it's one thing traveling by yourself. It's another thing traveling with your child. It's another thing traveling with a child possessed with a demon. You catch notice of a lot of folks. Don't tell me you don't. You go in the store and you see someone that's got a child, and they're what we call handicapped of some sort, whether that's mentally or physically, and they get your attention. And you'll see that parent, and you look at that and you think the load that that parent has to bear every day dealing with that child that is struggling. Still, praise the Lord. Hold on here a minute. And then they take that child and he's traveled. He's come. And you can say what you want to, but this daddy wants his son delivered. We can just nail it down, but a lot of times our faith is lacking. And our faith is not because there really is not a great desire to see something take place. And there's a lot of reasons why that desire fades away. I might come down a little bit close to home here this afternoon, so put your seatbelts on. I can tell you, our brother Doug, when the first time he went in the hospital, I know he had a lot of visitors, but I kind of noticed, and I don't have a real record here, but I noticed that sometimes after that second and that third time, and if there's a fourth and fifth, and I don't believe there needs to be or going to be, God's going to deliver our brother. But I'm here to tell you, what happens is we tend to back away, you know. It becomes routine and monotonous, but a brother's still suffering. A brother still needs a touch from God. And in that fifth time, he needs a visit more than he needs it in the first time. But many times the desire has failed and you don't stay in the heat of the battle. You don't stay in the thick, so you lose the burden because you're not close to the one that's in the fire and the one that's gone through the trouble and the dilemma. I'm here to tell you, we've got to keep a fire burning in us. We've got to stay in the heat of the battle or we will never be able to exercise our faith because our desire will wane and fade away. Our compassion grows cold. Because we don't see the pain and the agony and the suffering of our brothers. Hello? Amen. But this man, how many times has he probably went to physicians? I don't know. What has he tried? I guarantee he's probably tried them Pharisees and they couldn't cast him out. No scribes and they couldn't cast him out. He got to the disciples and they couldn't cast him out. But the interesting thing enough is this. Jesus isn't there. And the debate is raging between the disciples and the scribes. But he's hanging around. He hasn't went anywhere. He didn't pack up and leave just because the church failed. He didn't pack up and leave just because this one failed. He didn't pack up and leave. He's hung right there. He's waiting. Yet there's another man. There's still one hope that I got. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm here to tell you, if you can, God can.
That's right. Amen.
This man wants out of his dilemma. How bad do you want to see deliverance? How much are you willing to agonize to see it take place? Secondly, I want you to notice something about this man. He's truthful. He's honest. Honesty. Faith can only grow in an atmosphere of truth and honesty. This man tells you the truth. I want you to notice it. Mark chapter 9. Go there for a moment with me. Verse 14. When he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. Verse 16. And he, Jesus, speaking of Jesus, and he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" Hey, fellas, what's the debate? What's the question that we're having here? What's the argument? What's taking place? Now, would you notice something? Verse 17. The scribes don't answer, and the disciples don't answer. But who pipes up? The daddy. The one who's in need. I'm the reason for this debate. Sometimes you become the focus. The very fact that he brought his son has created debate in the religious world. And it's sometimes in the middle of that, we just tend to fade into the woodwork. But now Jesus asks the question and they know he can answer it. Hey fellas, what's the question all about? I think there's some guilt going on here. Glory. Oh yeah. Hey, that's it. You got a boy that you need and you're fussing. Come on now. You got a boy. You ought to be down weeping and crying asking God what in the world's going on here. We got a real need in our midst and all we can do is debate about it. Got folks that are hurting. Got folks that have needs. And we can't do nothing but fuss and argue because we want to find what's really going on. We want to debate this thing. I'm here to tell you, when there's a need, there don't need to be to debate it. We need to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. Because if you can, God can. God can take care of it. And God can meet the need. And he's willing to tell Jesus what the ruckus is all about when nobody else is. He stands right out in the forefront and he says, me and my boy, we're what this debate's about here today. My son is possessed with a demon. Now you could say what you want to. But it wouldn't be easy to admit that you've got a demon possessed child. Because there's no way you can have that unless you've had some failure on your part. Hello? So come on now. Sometimes it's hard for us to just admit and say it. This is the problem. And I know I might have some hand in that. But I'm telling you, I'm here for help. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Ooh. And then when Jesus says, hey, when did this happen? When did this come into him? He didn't make any bones about it. It was from infancy. It was from a child. It's been a long time. I know it, Lord. I'm going to tell you, sometimes our faith can't be exercised because we just won't get honest with God. We just won't come clean and tell it just like it is. It's me, oh Lord, and I'm standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one, oh God, that's struggling. I'm the one, oh Lord, that's had a problem. I'm the one, oh Lord, that needs a touch and some help. I don't know where you are, and maybe everything don't apply to where you are this afternoon, but I'm here to tell you, if you can, God can. And if you can have a heart that is honest with God, God will work with you and deal with you. Thirdly, I would like you to note his obedience. Just one simple thing. Jesus says to him in verse 19, bring that boy to me. Bring him unto me. I want you to know something, that father. He didn't say, well, we've already tried it all. Let's just go on home here now. He didn't make excuses for it. You know what he did? Bring that boy here. Oh my, bring that boy here. Now maybe you don't make much out of it, but I note a little progression. I note a distinction. Verse 17, when this father first speaks out and one of the multitude answered and said, Master. That's what that father called Jesus. Master, I brought unto thee my son which hath a dumb spirit. Master. That word master means teacher. Teacher. That's all it means. He looked at Jesus as a rabbi, a teacher. Someone who's got a school of thought. Someone who's got a moral system that he's teaching and advocating to others. And he just first of all addresses Christ as teacher. But I note in verse 24, if you'll look, that this man cries out. And the Bible says, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. He didn't say teacher. I believe. He didn't say, in the sense of you instructor, he says, Lord. That's a universal term for God that says you're the sovereign, that you're the one that's over it all. And I respect your authority. I honor you as governor. I honor you and recognize that you have the power and the authority. He has gotten beyond
mind, seeing this man as just an instructor and seeing him as one who has authority over everything, and he's willing to bow. Matthew says that when this man came to Jesus, he kneeled. He kneeled in front of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you right now this morning, this man has come to surrender his will. He said, take my son. He said, give me your son. And he says, here he is. He said, believe. And he says, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. This man is willing to yield to the mastery of Jesus Christ.
He's gotten beyond what the crowd thinks about him. He's gotten beyond the debate among those scribes and disciples. He's gotten beyond whatever he's had in his past life. He's gotten beyond the mockery and the ridicule. He's gotten beyond all of that because hope has begun to rise within his heart again. And faith can find new evidence to grab a hold of and find hope in the sight of Jesus Christ. Fourth thing I want you to know, the basic of faith is humility. Notice that fella. Again, I'll read it, verse 24. He's first of all said, Lord, if anything's possible, have compassion on us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then the Bible says, and straightway the father of the child cried out. Now, do you know what cried out means? It means crying out. Help! Save me! Please, sir! You don't get there until you're broken. You don't get there until the pride is gone. You don't get there until that heart is melted. And if you just don't have anything else, and now tears are flowing down the face of this daddy. I'm telling you, church, it's one thing to look at someone and have compassion on them when they simply tell their story. But I'm here to tell you, when there's a wail in their voice and there's a tear that is flowing down their face, it intensifies that thing. And I tell you, it'll break the hardest of hearts. It'll reach out and touch a man who would never have compassion. It's amazing what a tear will do. It's amazing how a tear. But God doesn't need that. I'm just telling you, in the midst of that, it says this man has come to the place he's lost all sense of what others think, and he wants one thing and one thing only, and that is healing for the child that is his. He wants this healing for his only son. Four basics of faith that's in that seed. That seed needs four basic things to grow. It needs, number one, desire. It needs, number two, honesty or truth. It needs, number three, obedience, submission. And number four, it needs humility. You strip any of those properties out of that seed, and you will never get a crop. I'm telling you right now. Faith will never grow because you'll destroy that seed. And you'll get nothing from it. You've got to have those elements. And I'm here to tell you, when that man said, Lord, I believe, he meant it. He meant it, Brother John. Oh, a lot of times, it's not that you and I have no faith at all. There's basics that are there. And if there's basics that are there, God's got something to work with. Oh, hallelujah. We may cry out, Lord, help my unbelief. But there's something yet that God can work with. And I'm here to tell you, if there's no humility, God can't do anything. If there's no honesty, God can't do anything. If there is no obedience and submission, God can't do anything. If there's no hunger, God can't do anything. But give me those four qualities, and God can grow your faith. God can put you in some soil. God can water your seed. And God can bring fruit out of your life. And God can help you get where you need to be. Praise the Lord. I'm not preaching to you to criticize you. I'm preaching to you this afternoon to give you hope. If you can, God can. You're going to have to now allow the Lord to build your faith. Now let me tell to you just a few things about what God has done for this man and what He does to build their faith, or his faith and the faith of His disciples. I'll note the first one, please, in Mark chapter 9. It's just a little word, verse 15, that is often just glossed over, but I think is so full of revelation. And straightway all the people now, we're talking about the folks in the valley, the disciples, scribes arguing, debating, the father with his son, demon-possessed, and he's distressed about it. And Jesus shows up. And the Bible said, and straightway all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. Jesus showed up, just appears. They're concentrated on the debate, and here on the sideline, coming to the edge of that crowd, is Jesus Christ. And the Bible said they beheld Him. For a moment they said nothing. For a moment they just stared at Him. And when they stared at Him, the Bible said they were amazed. His very appearance shocked them. Some suggest it was because He appeared suddenly. I kind of tend to disagree with that. I'll tell you what I believe is going on here that I think is consistent with the passage and what's happened. He has just come from a mount when His face shined as the noonday sun. And His raiment was changed to light. White. White so full. And no white them, no fuller could brighten them any brighter. I think it was no more than that of what we'd seen. If Moses' face shone after dim with the Lord in the mount, how much more the Son of God, who has been glorified with a majesty above all of them. And they looked at Him, and in the midst of that darkness of the debate and the depression, a light shines on the wilderness. Glory to the Lamb of God. I'm going to tell you, if you look away from the darkness of your situation, you'll find a light shining from Jesus Christ, and hope can come your way because of Him. Hallelujah. They looked at Him and they're amazed. And they didn't run from Him. They ran to Him and saluted Him. Hail, Master. Peace, Master. Oh, how are you? Good to see you, sir. Oh, hallelujah, amen. When I'm telling you the world has pulled at us, we ought to run to Jesus. We ought to look at Him and say, there it is. That glory that I believe was shining from His countenance is you, hope, and mine. His uniqueness, His distinctiveness, His sovereignty. I'm here to tell you, if nobody believes, you can believe. If everybody else is lost in debate, if everybody else is lost in depravity, you can still see a miracle of God. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I believe, and it's time that we had a faith that reached out and got a hold of God for some others. I tell you so much. We want to look at someone we pray for and say, well, they ain't got any faith or they get healed. I'd like to know where yours is, buddy. I'd like to know if you've got so much faith, then why don't you do it? I'll take a miracle at your hands. I'll take a miracle as a result of your prayer. When I'm in desperation, I'm not looking for notoriety. I'm not looking for a personality. I want results. I want somebody who can deliver me from my dilemma. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And I'm telling you, it's a fact that He was willing to come off that mountain and come down to our squalor and meet us in our mess and walk to Calvary and die for us. That's the reason. If you can, God can. That's the reason all things are possible to them that believes. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how far gone it is. I don't care if it's twice dead and plucked up by the roots. I'm telling you, His work on Calvary, His work on Calvary is the reason I've got any hope here today. I don't have any hope in WPC. I don't have any supreme hope in you. But I've got a hope in the one that died and was buried and raised the third day from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
I tell you what we need more than anything that will inspire our faith is a manifestation of the presence of Jesus Christ.
It's amazing how folks can rise up higher when you get in the presence of Jesus. Oh, glory. I want you to note the second thing Jesus did in verse 19. Bring him unto me. Now I can tell you that Jesus was disappointed that his disciples had not helped this father. He did not take it lightly. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. How long? How long? I put it in common day North Carolina terms. He said this. How long shall I be with you? How long do I need to put up with you? That's what that word suffer means. It's forbear. How long have I got to put up with you? Brother, you say what you want to. That's pretty tough to swallow. That would cause most folks to turn tail and cash it in right there. But there's still a basic element of faith in those disciples. And even though they got a tough rebuke, they're finding themselves with him at the end of the day and saying, Lord, how come? It's got to be more than that. Come on. You've given us a rebuke. You've called us faithless and perverse. Oh, what we do when the preacher preaches like he preached this morning. We get mad and want to blame him. What we ought to do is hit our knees and say, God, why should such a message be preached to us? What is it that we're not doing? Help me, God, am I really doing this thing like I need to do it? In time to get mad at the preacher, it's time to ask the question, Lord, why are you saying this to me? I need help. I need help. Tell it. In that rebuke can be your hope. Because he loves the one he chastens. Or rather, he chastens the one he loves. So, I don't know why. I know why. Because we've been affected by our culture. That we think that love tolerates wrong instead of correcting it. We think that if you contradict somebody, you don't love them. So if you tell the homosexual he's a sodomite and he's displeasing to God, and if he doesn't turn around, he's going to wind up in an eternal hell. They think you don't love him. No, that's the evidence that you do love him. I know you can say that out of a heart that's not full of love. I know you can say it out of a mean spirit. But you can also, it's the only thing that can be said, and a heart that is a real true-hearted love can say nothing less. But sir, your life is in contradiction to the Word of God, and God hates this sin. It's an abomination and a stench in His sight. We need to get away from this victimization mentality and just say, look, if you rebuke me, thank you. Now help me, sir, how to fix it. And the Lord will never correct you that He's not also willing to give you the solution to your problem. The Bible said the rod and reproof bring wisdom. With the Lord's spanking will come instruction. And if you as a parent spank your children without training and instructing your children, you are deficient in your discipline. Hello. And sometimes as preachers, come on, I'm probably guilty of it. I'll bawl you out without telling you what to do. Well, help me, Lord. I don't want to just chew your ears. I want to tell you what to do. The preacher told us this morning what we needed to do. He told us which way to go. We took what it is. But now do what the man says. Get on your knees. Find a place. Turn to God. Because out of a heart of prayer will come works for the glory of Jesus Christ. Second thing I want you to note he did. Third thing. Is he called? Bring that son to me. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't care who you are sitting in this building this afternoon. Jesus Christ has said to you personally, come unto me. No one else can help you. No one else can fix you. Come unto me. He even told us, cast all of your care upon me. I care for you. He said, if you're thirsty, I'll give you a drink. If you're in turmoil, I'll give you peace. Hallelujah. If you're sick and need a physician, I'll give you healing. Lord. Come unto me. What hope is there in that? Oh, yes, Brother Woods. Brother Woods, but you pray and you haven't seen the miracle. That may be true, but God hadn't shut out heaven to me yet. Glory. It may be, Brother John, that I prayed and God hadn't yet gave me an answer. But I can hear you one thing. He hadn't said. He hadn't said to me, don't pray anymore. He hadn't said to me, don't bring up petition anymore. No, sir. Yet what I have felt from him is pray again. Bring it again. Oh, a man ought to pray and not to faint. You ought to come on, son, and bring it again. That's what faith is all about. Yes, God hadn't answered you yet, but the throne of grace is still available. The throne of grace is still accessible. Go back on your knees and ask God for a miracle. Hallelujah. If you can, God can. Verse 23. Jesus said, if thou canst believe. I'm telling you, I don't think there's ever a man that had a more impossible situation than that fellow right there. And a physician in the world can do anything for his son. Not a thing. Not one thing can be done to help that demon-possessed boy. Now you say what you want to, but there is no physician in the world that their power is greater than that of Satan. I'm here to tell you that. Satan has more power than all of the medical world combined. You got to go to have someone that has more power than the devil when you want to overcome the devil. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. You got to go to someone who has authority. And Jesus has made a declaration. All things, not some things, not a few things, not maybe. All things. I'm telling you, it is a declaration that you can get something to sink your teeth into. And that's what we need most of the time. And that's what I've been praying for. And I felt it stronger in my spirit day by day. I know where we're at and I know where I'm preaching here this afternoon. And I'm telling you, I got a brother who's with us here today. Is hurting, other folks in his church are hurting, but I'm telling you right now, I feel a growing faith in my belly, if you will, in my spirit that says, I'm going to do this work. I've been asked, God, I want a word. Tell me something. I want something I can sink my teeth into. Give me a promise. And when he opened up that book and he speaks and says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I'm telling you what sort of things you desire when you pray. Believe you receive. Receive them and you shall have them. Get you God's promise. Faith needs an anchor. Faith needs reason. Faith needs something that's sure. Faith has got to have something that is undisputable. Light the path. Make it clear. Give me a word. Speak something to me. Say something. It's night. The winds are blowing. They're struggling rowing the boat. And a ghost walks by. And I'm telling you, help us. Yeah. But just a few words. Be not afraid. In his eye. Oh, Brother Woods, that don't mean much. Oh, yes, it does. I remember the times when I knelt beside my wife's bed and I watched the agony in her face and I felt my helplessness and I felt hopelessness and I cried out to God. I'm going to tell you when I prayed, that heart didn't immediately get right. No, sir.
I prayed, Brother Steve. I prayed, Brother. And I tell you, I just felt here I am the husband. I didn't have faith for my wife. This is my role to be a spiritual leader. But I'm telling you, there's just one word spoken into my soul. And I feel the Holy Spirit reaching down and say, son, it's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of it. Let me tell you, $1 million couldn't have given me what that word gave me. No preacher, none of my fellow believers, none of my brothers could have spoke such words of calmness. Why? But I'm telling you, when the master of the sea reaches down and says, I'm here, it's going to be all right. I don't care. Let the waves blow. Let the wind blow. Let the waves come against the boat. I got a word from God, and I'm hanging on to it. Praise the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I had to go back to that. I'm going to tell you again. I asked God when I went to Africa, I said, God, I want to know. You tell, I know the enemy. Here it comes. He's a liar anyway. Right. But you have that occasion. God said, okay, give me something. And then that Sunday morning, God burned into my heart and said, this is a challenge. $15,000 almost a year plus things. This is a challenge. Small congregation. Who's going to help? I don't know. But that morning I preached on faith. On Sunday morning we were praising and worshiping God. God spoke to me and said, ask me and I'll do it. I'm telling you, the first cargo shipment has done landed in Kenya. Woo, glory to God. But now it may be on its way to an orphanage. It isn't because Dan Woods is anything. All things are possible. Not because we're great men. Not because we have great power. But simply because if we believe and ask God, we got a God that can do anything, church. I'm telling you, leukemia can't stand in the presence of a holy God. I'm telling you, demon-possessed boys cannot stay demon-possessed boys in the presence of the might and the power and the majesty of God. Our God is able. We got to see it. We got to reach out to lay hold of it. Yeah. I don't know what time it is. Verse 25. I'll finish in just a moment. Verse 25. And Jesus saw the people. They came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit. I'm going to tell you something right now. Here comes that crowd. Now, if that would have been Benny Hinn. Yeah. Hey, hey, hey. Get the microphones out here. Hey, we got more folks coming. Let's get everybody around here. We got to show them this thing. Hello?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you can say what you want to, but I just don't go for this mess of bringing everybody up front and having a microphone and say, okay, tell your problem and all this, and then we're going to lay hands on you. Ain't nothing but show.
Right.
All you're trying to do is impress the crowd.
Right.
He cared about the need of that. You know what they did when Jesus saw him to come running? He immediately cast the devil out of that boy. He wasn't interested in making a show. He's focused on helping a father. He's focused on helping a child. He's got disciples that need to be carried along in their faith. He ain't interested in what that crowd's going to come to be mesmerized by this and that. And I'm here to tell you right now, we've got to get more interest in this. Where is our faith as it was preached to us today? What are we doing and where are we going? That's more important than us being able to have something we can just show to everybody and look what we did. What's more important is that God's got us where He wants us and we can get a hold of God and see a miracle for His glory. Hallelujah. That's the issue at hand. All our concern is impressing that world out there. I'd like for them to see it. I want them to see the glory of God, but that's not first issue. That's secondary. First concern is the condition of the church. First concern is a need in this local body. And us having a faith that reaches out beyond of where we are to lay a hold of something that's great. I want you to know something, what Jesus did. When that man said, help my unbelief, he was honest. He was straight out. Sometimes from us, if God will just hear a cry of desperation, and just the fact that we recognize there's some holes in our faith. some failures here. But two things. God, you can help me. And I want that help.
Yeah.
I want that help. You know what Jesus did? He didn't reach down and say, well, now, let's see. You show up for class next week and we'll spend some time there, and then you bring your boy back and we'll see what we can do. No, I tell you what He did, that heart of compassion. Let me tell you something right now. Our God is still a God of compassion. Don't you think for one minute that He has in any way hardened His heart against the needs of His children and against the lost and dying humanity. Don't you think for a minute that our God has in any way become calloused so that He doesn't feel the needs and the hurts. I'm here to tell you He still weeps at the tomb of Lazarus. I'm here to tell you when He sees His people in pain and agony, it isn't something He enjoys. He isn't some glutton for punishment. He isn't some someone who delights in pain and misery. I'm here to tell you, when God sees a people that are weeping and crying in pain because they feel the need of the pastors and the need in the midst, I'm telling you, the heart of God is moved by that. You know what our problem is? And we really don't think God cares. Hello?
Go ahead.
We've become so calloused ourselves. That's how we really think God is. Brother Doug, God cares for you. And when you were laying in that hospital bed this week, pain so intense, it's about to swallow him up and overcome him. I'm trying to tell you right now, God wasn't looking down, saying, ah, he'd be all right. He failed it.
Yes,
he failed it, Brother John.
Yes.
What you and I have got to do is we've got to feel it.
Right.
We've got to identify with that.
Yes.
And we've got to begin to feel some of the hurts of one another. Because when we do, we'll cry out. The Father, not the Son. The Father is saying, help us. Help us. I want to reiterate this to you this afternoon. That boy was not delivered through his own faith. Now I'm telling you, it'll take your faith to save you. But just being delivered from a demon doesn't mean salvation. It just means a step towards it. Because Christ can't come in when the devil's in the house. The house has got to be empty before the Lord can ever take possession of it. Yes, sir. So just because you get delivered from a demon doesn't make you saved. It just makes you eligible now to be saved. Because you can't get saved with the devil in you. You got to get him out of you first. But I'm here to tell you right now that Brother Andrew, your faith can see a miracle in your family. I'm here to tell you, your faith, Brother Steve, I know you get frustrated because folks don't pray. But I'm telling you, your prayer can lift and bring a revival in this church. I'm telling you, Brother Ross, that's our problem. We get sometimes so frustrated with everything else. But I don't hear him blaming the scribes. I don't hear him blaming the disciples. I don't hear this man trying to point fingers. I just hear him looking at Jesus and say, help, help me, help me, help me, help me. Can you deliver my son? Can you bring compassion? Can you have mercy upon me? And I'm here to tell you, your faith can see a miracle. If you can, God can.
Yes, amen. Yes, amen.
I'm telling you, there have been hundreds of people healed by the faith of a praying mama or a praying daddy or a praying preacher or a praying mother. And it's not been the faith of that person. Hello. And I close with this thought. And he said unto them, down in verse 29, when they asked the question, after the rebuke, being called faithless and perverse, the Lord placed a statement to let them know that this also was not an ordinary case. And He just gave them some words, a simple instruction, howbeit, this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. Jesus has just come off the mountain where He's been praying and fasting.
That's what he went up that mountain to do, start with. He's been up there praying.
Yes.
I don't read any record while they ate either. They may have, but I doubt it. Got up there and got caught in the presence of the Lord. I doubt that they ate. But he's just come from the mountain. I'll never forget the story of a minister in Jacksonville, Florida. My understanding, years ago, he walked into a jail cell to see a man there one day, and that man was demon possessed. And when he walked in there that day, that demon began to manifest itself. And the devil began to tell that pastor, said, "You ain't enough. You ain't fasted enough. You ain't prayed. You hadn't done it." And he told the devil, he reached out to that man. He told the devil, he said, "Jesus is always ready to cast you out." And he said, "In the name of Jesus." That man was delivered, and it made headlines in Jacksonville, Florida, I understand. He was liberated from that demon. I'm here to tell you something right now. It is not going to be helpful for us if you've taken me as just trying to condemn and push you down this afternoon. You have mistaken my message in my heart. Just like Pastor Lapp this morning. If you took that message as something to beat you up, you mistook it. You missed it. That ain't the gist of it at all. We're trying to help folks. We're trying to get there ourselves. We're trying to look at our own lives and say, "Why couldn't I lay hands on him and see him healed?" And it ain't going to be helpful for us to sit around and just analyze it to death. And, well, if this happened, if that happened. What we really need to do is just dig in and say, "What I'm going to do, I'm going to commit to some more prayer on this thing." Whew, glory to the Lamb of God. Because I'm here to tell you that when the day is done, oh, John and Father, oh, glory. He's going on that day with a skip in his step for the first time. For the first time, he can have fellowship with his Son without fear of the devil's interruption. And when that devil wants to come and say, "But he might come back. He's got a word. But I heard the Master say, come out of him and enter no more into him." Glory to God. He ain't coming back. I'm here to tell you, when you get rid of it, you can stay rid of it. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, when the sin goes, it can stay going. When the infirmity goes, it can stay going. God cares about us. And while that Father and Son are skip-de-doo-dah all the way home, the disciples are in there. "Lord, we need some help here too." You know what he does? He doesn't come down and beat them on the head. He draws them in and says, "Fellas, you did have a problem with unbelief, but this was a tough one, I'll tell you. And you need some more prayer and fasting." Glory to God. That's what he does. And that's what he wants to do to this church. I love you, church. And I just want you to dig in a little more. It isn't time to throw in the towel. It isn't time to put guilt trips on one another. It isn't time to condemn one another. It's a time to press on in and let the Master build your faith and let your seed grow so that God can do something in the midst of this church. Hallelujah. Would you stand this afternoon? Glory to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I can't speak for you, but I feel the Lord's presence here this afternoon. And if you're tired, I'm happy. Glory, not because you're tired, but I'm happy because I feel the Lord's speaking something to this church today through the Word of God that He's bringing to us. You hear me, church? We've got hope. If you can, God can. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. A woman had I don't know what happened to her. Something happened to her back. She could hardly, just terrible. It was hurting her. She was in pain. We've been having a preacher preach to us about faith. And I just got to the place. God, I stood there and we were praying for us, gathered around us. I said, God, I don't see any reason why we can't touch you right now. And God spoke to me and said, take the Bible in your hand and put it on her back right now. And I took that Bible and I just laid that Bible against her back. And we just kept praying. And just in a moment, we realized something had changed. And she looked at us and she said, when he touched my back with that Bible, the pain left me. Tell me why God can't do it again. Sometimes God's just waiting on us to cry out. Let's not make any more excuses, all right? Let's not point fingers. Let's just start crying out. And say, God, I want to touch you. And for some in my life of why I can't touch you for my brother, I want to know about it. There's something wrong. If not, I got a word from you. And you said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Lord, I'm believing you. I believe God's going to heal my brother. I didn't preach this because of him. It wasn't even on my mind. I'm just telling you. Donnie read that scripture tonight and I couldn't get away from it. If you can, God can.
Yeah.
Say it with me. If you can, God can. Now say it this way. If I can, God can. If I can believe, all things are possible.
Absolutely.
Well, what do you need to believe? I just got to have the basics of faith. I got to overcome the obstacles. And I got to get focused on Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Brother John, it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Man, church, isn't that exciting?
Yes, sir.
Come on. Would you just get a little bit happy about it? Hallelujah. Oh, could you lift your hand and thank Him? What a promise. Thank you, God. What a promise. What a promise.